WTAW news time is 5 minutes after 8. It's 75 degrees. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Brought to you by BCR Realtors, the best agents in the Brazos Valley. Find them online at bcrbcs.com. Good morning. I'm Chelsea Reber. A Bryan City Council majority has approved 23 unanimous recommendations made by its Charter Review Advisory Committee.
The 74-page report drafted by the seven-member group is online at WTAW.com. Charter Committee came up with 13 recommendations of its own in consultation with Austin lawyer Alan Bojaquiz.
They were concerned about having a charter that is enforceable, that can be administered, that is understandable, and that is not so far outside the norm that you'd be the only city to have these kinds of provisions in your charter.
Among the charter changes Bryan voters will be asked to approve in November is allowing a maximum of one council meeting a month and to approve most ordinances in one reading instead of two, something that dates back to 1913. The council's 5-1 vote also includes not supporting 10 charter proposals being circulated by a citizens group. Charter Committee Chairman Tim Bryan says many of the proposals from the Bryan New Directions Political Action Committee are not really bad ideas.
But those are decisions that the council needs to figure out how they want to govern themselves, not to queer up the constitution of the city with a bunch of directives on how it's going to treat its assets or when it's going to meet or who's going to be able to talk and when.
The council's no vote came from Mike Sutherland, who's a member of the New Directions PAC. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620 WTAW.
The first look at next year's Bryan City budget included a heads up from BTU's general manager. Gary Miller told the council there is a possibility the Texas Public Utility Commission might reduce electric rates because BTU is making too much money.
That reduction would benefit all the ratepayers of all the other utilities in the state.
So that'll be a good incentive for them to reduce that.
Yes, sir.
If the state forces a rate reduction, that means BTU would reduce its transfer of money into the city of Bryan's general fund by $1.4 million.
We've talked to the city manager. You know, we're already talking about if that does happen, you know, what are the ramifications and how will we, what will we do to resolve that?
The Bryan Council heard there was no plans to change rates for trash collection, but there was no mention of what would happen to the property tax rate or the charges for city water and wastewater. The Bryan City Council ended last night's meeting by applauding the choice of the next executive director of the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission. The applause followed City Manager Keene Register's announcement that the TABC board named Bryan lawyer Bentley Nettles, a retired brigadier general and former general counsel with the Texas Army National Guard.
He was my platoon leader in the airborne infantry unit that I was in when we were both very, very young. And to see him rise to first the level of brigadier general and then second to head an agency such as the TABC, that's a really big deal.
Nettle's appointment follows the resignations of six high-level TABC officials following criticism of taxpayer-funded trips and ties between the agency and the beverage industry it regulates. Last December's death of a Texas A&M fraternity member has been ruled accidental. Brazos County Sheriff Chris Kirk says Matthew Hayes of Beaumont took several drugs after returning home not feeling well from a night out.
According to the medical examiner, the combination of those drugs suppresses the heart's rate and breathing of a person.
One of the drugs Hayes took was hydrocodone.
We were able to track the source to an individual. And we did submit our detailed investigation to the district attorney's office, and they refused to prosecute under the circumstances.
The sheriff says Hayes also had a blood alcohol level of 0.11, which is above the legal limit of 0.08. Huntsville police have a third report of a blade in a public place. Huntsville City Secretary Lee Woodward says they are urging retailers to check their shopping carts after a customer was hurt.
Received a minor injury from a utility blade knife that had been stuck in the handle of the cart.
This follows the discovery of razor blades melted into plastic slides at two Huntsville City parks. From the Panhandle comes word of the death of a teenager in Lubbock from unusual circumstances.
Family members say Madison Coe died after being electrocuted while using her cell phone in a bathtub. They say she either grabbed her phone that was plugged in or plugged in her phone. Her grandmother says there was a burn mark on her hand. A GoFundMe page created by family friends in the girl's honor has raised over $5,000. A memorial service is Friday in Lovington, Texas, at the First United Methodist Church. Kelly Weiss, TSN News.
And in the Houston suburb of Pasadena, the mother of an 11-year-old daughter and 10-year-old son was arrested for two counts of child endangerment. 25-year-old Maria De Jesus Lopez is accused of letting the girl drive her brother home. The girl told police it's not the first time she's been behind the wheel, but it was the first time without her mother and the first time with her brother. Police made the initial traffic stop for speeding, doing 49 in a 35-mile-per-hour zone. WTAW News Time is 10 minutes after 8 at 75 degrees. You can text us at 979-695-1620. This Look at News is brought to you by BCR Realtors. One more look at your local news at 8:30, or you can always check out our website, WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
BCR Realtors was extremely helpful in helping me find my first home. Due to my unorthodox schedule and my long work hours, my realtor was able to meet me after hours and on weekends, which was crucial to my success. You can tell the folks that BCR Realtors really enjoy helping people and went the extra mile to answer any questions that I had. Thank you, BCR Realtors.
The best real estate firm in the Brazos Valley.
Hi, I'm Brian Windham.
And I'm Allison Windham.
And we're Windham Construction.
Remodeling is a story. It has a beginning, middle, and an end. The beginning is planning and design, the middle, quality construction, and the end, your happily ever after. If you're ready to write your story, we can help you get it done. Windham Construction provides good quality, dependability, and great results. Whether you want to remodel your kitchen or build an addition, it's a great time to get started. Call us today. Windham Construction, 324-8596.
At Zornemann Flooring, we love helping turn your house into a home. From floors to showers and even backsplashes, we have a wide selection of all leading brands. Need help with colors and designs? We can help with that too. Whether you are building a new home or remodeling your existing, we are here to help. Oh, and P.S., our prices are pretty great too. Find us at the corner of Boonville and Wildfire Drive in Bryan or at zfloors.net. Zornemann Flooring, where it's our pleasure to make you happy.
Good morning, it's 8:12. Our Brazos Valley weather forecast is brought to you by United Roofing and Sheet Metal, home of the Duralast Roof System, world's best roof. Give them a call at 268-ROOF, go to unitedroofingpros.com.
Partly sunny day for the region with temperatures between 90 and 95 this afternoon. We'll see whether or not we pick up a thunderstorm this morning. Already tracking some activity moving in off the Gulf near the Houston area. It'll be clear to partly cloudy tonight, 70 to 75. Partial sun tomorrow, the risk of a thunderstorm. Temperatures will be near 95. And Friday should be partly sunny and warm, with highs between 95 and 100. I'm meteorologist Rob Carolin for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
Okay, as far as any kind of rain activity that's coming in off the Gulf, yeah, there's a little bit, but it's down around Lamarck and Pearland, and it's very light, so, but could pop up at any time.
Yeah.
Okay. Britney Spears been rumored as the star of Super Bowl 52's halftime show.
Ooh, now that would be good.
So there, according to the New York Daily News, they are currently in secret discussions.
Not so secret if we know what they're talking
right?
about.
Okay. Well, it's Britney's people and the folks who put together the show, which, by the way, will be Feb 4, 2018. That'll be Super Bowl LII, you know. And the Daily News says Britney has made it clear to her team that it is a dream to perform at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And she has the hits package clearly to be a headliner. So
Folk
there.
Show.
Britney also performed at the halftime of the 2001 Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Performing Walk This Way with NSYNC and Aerosmith. We all remember that,
oh,
don't we?
Yeah.
Of course.
How could I forget? I love Britney.
Got that. All right, okay. Hey, listener calling in during the news talking about the sock for the avocado.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, rather than call it the avocado sock, how about the guac sock?
Yeah, there you go.
I think
competitor,
that's good.
Guac
competitor
sock.
Product.
But, you know, not all avocados are turned into guacamole.
No, that's true, but that's a catchy
But it is very catchy.
Name.
Yeah.
So Wicked has joined the Broadway Billionaire Club. Playbill.com says the musical is now the second highest grossing musical of all time behind The Lion King. Since Wicked opened in October of 2003, it has grossed $1.1 billion.
Wow.
Beats out The Phantom of the Opera, who's done about 1.1, but not quite as much as that one has. And then The Lion King is the number one at $1.38 billion. This fall, that musical celebrates its 20th anniversary. Jukebox musicals, they don't like calling them that, but that's what they are. That's what Jersey Boys is. I mean, it's the music of a pop group, and so that's how they started calling them that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, one based on the songs of the Rolling Stones is in the works. UK newspaper The Sun says the project being workshopped now in London. The creators, who have not been revealed, still need the approval of the band, especially Mick, to get the show off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just to remind you, even though they were, you know, kind of grungy looking compared to the mm-hmm. Beatles, who were all clean cut and everything, Mick Jagger went to the London School of Economics.
Yeah.
It's not like he's a dumb guy. Kurt Russell has friends in very high places. Goldie Hawn's better half revealed on the Disney 23 in the Disney 23 magazine that Walt Disney personally introduced him to lots of the animators when he signed on with the company back in the 60s.
Oh, that's cool.
Turns out Walt may have been doing a little marketing research. Kurt thinks he was actually picking him to maybe become a filmmaker for Disney.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's a
interesting
kind of a sideline there.
Yep.
All right, if you want to get rich, no winner last night, so Mega Millions is $217 million. Mm-hmm. That drawing will be on Friday. Got to buy a ticket to win, just saying.
Mm-hmm. Can't afford not to.
That's right. No winner in Saturday's drawing, so Powerball will be $155 million.
There you go.
Almost a pretty big crash involving five airplanes yesterday at San Francisco International.
Wow.
Air Canada flight A759 coming in for a landing, but the pilot lined up with a taxiway that already had four aircraft waiting on it instead of a runway.
Oh, ooh. Yikes.
Fortunately, another pilot said, "Where's this guy going? He's on the taxiway." Air traffic controller then told the Air Canada pilot to pull up and attempt another approach. That had to feel very fun in the airplane.
Yeah, can you feel it descending and all of a sudden, here we go, just kidding.
Now, this is what Harrison Ford did, okay? Remember that?
Yeah.
He lined up with a taxiway earlier this year. Of course, he's pretty old, and it was a much, much smaller plane. But anyhow, yeah, there were four wide bodies. There could have been tons of folks injured or killed in that. That did not happen. Okay, the most distant star ever observed has now been spotted, and its light comes to us across two-thirds of the universe. How do we know that?
Right.
Because they tell us, Scott. Yeah, that's how we know.
It's space. Hello?
Hey, technically, all those people that buy tickets make all those of us who don't buy tickets automatic winners.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I don't know what they do with the tax money, right? Remember, it's supposed to
go to schools.
To go, yeah.
Schools and
education.
Veterans. Right, sure. Okay, yeah, if you believe that. Anyhow, so, yeah, they found this thing. It puts the star 9 billion light years away, okay? That means you have to travel at the speed of light for 9 billion years. Okay.
So, like, you know, we could do that. We got this.
Well, and we won't have to worry about that, the collapsing of the vertebrates that we were talking about yesterday. Remember the giant death thing that was going to be happening? So, anyhow, now, if you want to know the name, and of course you do, it's a galaxy cluster called MAX-J1149.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Write that down.
Right.
Here,
so,
yeah.
There. Got it? Okay. Follow. And the deal is, you know, you think about it, how long ago, and how do we know it's still there? Because, you know, consider if it takes 9 billion years for the light to get here.
How do we know?
It may have been destroyed like 8.6 billion years ago, and it's the light's still traveling here. You know what I'm saying?
And they said two-thirds of the universe it travels. Well, like, I assume they mean two-thirds of the known universe, because the whole idea of the universe is we
don't know how big
it is.
Follow-up images and analysis show that the bright blue star behind a galaxy cluster that happened to be aligned along Hubble Telescope's line of sight.
Happened to be, huh?
Just
we
happened to be.
Lucked out.
We did. The star is visible because the galaxy's cluster gravity.
Cluster gravity. Love that terminology.
Yeah.
Well, and see, then, of course, you would know, though, Chelsea, then it bent the space-time around the cluster.
Oh, of course.
Kind of acting like a magnifying glass. You know, remember we learned that in school.
Yeah.
Right.
In space.
Yeah, it's so cool. anyway, after doing a lot of math calculating about how the star's light was stretched, they figured out that it was 65% of the entire universe between us and them.
Now, that segment, of course, was specifically for Chelsea because we know how much she loves space, right?
I love it so much. Gotcha. I'm just so right. exhilarated now.
Let's go back to the other end of the spectrum. Tourists in Times Square got a big treat on Monday when Billy Ray Cyrus.
Heyo, achy breaky heart.
Joined forces with the Naked Cowboy
yes.
to strum a few tunes like Hound Dog, I Want My Mullet Back. The the Still the King star was dressed as his signature character, Evis, impersonator Vernon Brown. At the event that was streamed live on Facebook.
Nice. So awesome.
And because everybody wants to know, the CMT show will return for its second season last night. So
oh, good.
That's why they were talking it up.
Doing some stuff.
Talking it up. Floyd Mayweather has a big career in the roller derby if that Conor McGregor thing doesn't work out very well.
Yeah.
TMZ reports that it has a video of the champ doing lots of tricks and moves on eight wheels during a recent trip to the Crystal Palace Skating Center.
He's about to fight Conor McGregor. Shouldn't he be doing some training?
Well, he doesn't care.
He doesn't.
It's a payday for both of them.
Yeah. August the 26th, in case you're...
only $99.
Man, won't that be so... Well, that's the high-def one. I think you can get the low-def one for
$89. Oh, good. Okay. Wow. That makes me more apt to purchase it.
Yeah.
Okay, What can make a smoothie even better than it is right now? Selma Hayek is
not
launching,
kale.
No. Selma Hayek is launching a line of smoothies that double as face masks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What?
I also think I've heard of this before.
Okay. She does recommend that you not eat it off of your face.
Right.
Okay.
The Hollywood Reporter says that her Blend It Yourself smoothies brand contains all natural ingredients designed to be both drinkable and spreadable. The trio of beauty smoothie masks come in three flavors. That'd be aloe greens for repairing the skin, watermelon hibiscus for refreshing and soothing your skin, and papaya avocado for brightening and reinvigorating your complexion.
It's deliciously beautifying.
Each cup costs $7, big enough to provide a smoothie snack and a facial in one. Goes on sale later this month, so there you go, or at blenditsyourself.com. You've heard of this before?
Well, I've just heard of different face masks that you can, you know, that all because of all the natural ingredients, they're actually good for your skin, or I guess I should say smoothies because of all the ingredients, and then they're still good for your skin as well. It's so you can be beautiful on the inside and the outside.
That's it. That's what it is. And so I guess that's it's like a transdermal thing.
Right, exactly.
Okay. All right, at some point over the course of the past year, baseball cap styled after now President Donald Trump's Make America Great Again red hat have become a high fashion statement piece. New York Magazine's The Cut says the latest designer to put their own spin on that would have been Julian Woodhouse. He's a 27-year-old former U.S. Army lieutenant whose spring 2018 Woodhouse collection features a red cap that says, Make Menswear Great Again. All right. Yeah, that's fine. It'll do well for him.
Yeah.
Shaq's son is a rising star in modeling.
Really?
Okay.
I didn't know Shaq even had a son.
His name is Miles B. O'Neill, and he's a member of the Dolce & Gabbana DG Millennial Squad. Hollywood Reporter says he's also walked for DG in June in the menswear presentation in Milan.
Oh, yeah.
So, is he super tall?
So he is pretty tall. Yeah, looks like it.
He's not quite as tall as
Dad.
Yeah.
But, you know, he will be when he grows up. turns out that photo of Amelia Earhart that was used to plug the History Channel documentary?
Yes.
Was not taken after Amelia and her navigator Fred Noonan crashed.
Oh
dang. Aside from it not being historically accurate, the documentary used the photo to claim they both survived a plane crash after they disappeared July 2nd, 1937, on that around-the-world flight attempt. The photo supposedly proved a long-held theory that the pair was subsequently captured by the Japanese after they crash-landed. But the London Guardian published a report by a Japanese military history buff who showed the picture was taken from a book that had been published 2 years before she ever took off on her trip. Dang! You hate when they're just wrong and lying to you.
Yeah.
But Anyhow, and I don't know if that, you know, I didn't watch that show. And
no.
I'm not sure if anybody cared.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I mean, it was Amelia Earhart a long time ago. And, So maybe it'll be repeated.
The history buffs, yeah.
That's it. All right, say 25.
When you need a plumber, you need someone who offers every service in the book, from faucets, sinks, and toilets to backflow, leak detection, and sewer cleaning. That's my dad, Ed Phillips Plumbing. You also want the finest customer service. Again, that's my dad, Ed Phillips Plumbing. And since plumbing problems never pop up at opportune times, you want 24-hour service. Don't worry, you can call my dad, the real 24-hour plumber, Ed Phillips Plumbing, 731-1500, or click Ed Phillips Plumbing. Ed Phillips Plumbing, serving the Brazos Valley for over 10 years.
Do you have children age 8 and up? Are they bored and driving you bonkers this summer? Are you looking for things for them to do? If so, then you need to sign them up for Sovac City Summer Sewing Camps. At Sovac City Summer Sewing Camp, they'll learn to create instead of vegetate. Sovac City has spaces open in July, so give us a call or check out our sewing camps online at SovacCity.com. Let your kids learn something and have fun this summer. Sovac City, we're on the feeder road between Deacon and Rock Prairie. Come on down and see us.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with Your Money Now. A biotech company says the FDA allowed it to submit an experimental drug for approval without running an additional clinical study that the agency previously demanded. A sign the FDA's new leadership may be pursuing the goal of speeding drug development by easing up on its requirements. Amicus Therapeutics of New Jersey says it plans to file by the end of this year an application for FDA approval to market the drug to treat a rare genetic disorder. The new submission date is roughly 2 years earlier than Amicus had planned previously. Two former pharmaceutical saleswomen have pleaded guilty to bribing doctors in exchange for prescribing a powerful fentanyl medication made by Insys Therapeutics. The troubled drug maker facing multiple investigations by state and federal prosecutors. Children's clothing seller Gymboree says it's closing 350 stores as it works to restructure in bankruptcy. Once the stores are shuttered, it will have more than 900 locations. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a modestly higher open. That's Your Money Now.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Mirabet on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast. Or your money back.
Learning to fight fungal disease. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is Science Update. Saving the world's frogs might be reason enough to fight the global frog-killing fungus known as chytrid. After all, frogs are enormously important to wetlands ecosystems. But Smithsonian National Zoo conservation biologist Brian Gratwick says fighting the chytrid pandemic will also help us face future fungal attacks that could target us.
This is a global pandemic that's affecting an entire class of vertebrates, and we actually have a real opportunity to understand global pandemics, how they work, and what our options are for fighting them.
Gratwick explains that vaccines and antibiotics used to stop viral and bacterial outbreaks are useless against fungal diseases. Coming up with new weapons to stop chytrid today could help stop human-targeted fungal outbreaks in the future. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.
Amazon Prime Day ended this morning at 3 a.m., and by all accounts, it was another huge success, except maybe for millions of American businesses. I'm Kim Komando with your Wednesday Digital Consumer Tech Update. Because retail sales bogged down in the summer, Amazon invented Prime Day. Big online sales, real savings, posted every 5 minutes for all 30 hours. Not only Amazon, but Amazon's competitors, Best Buy, Macy's, Nordstrom's, and the others were all staging big sales too. All during business hours. This led CNBC to figure out if Amazon's 85 million Prime members spent just 1 minute online each time Amazon posted a new batch of deals over all 30 hours, it would result in a workplace distraction amounting to a $10 billion loss in productivity for America's other businesses that may soon add a no online shopping while at work policy. All the tech news is updated 24/7 at news.commando.com. That's KOMANDO.
Police use dash cameras to retain evidence and protect themselves against wrongful prosecution. Now you can too. It's your proof of your innocence in an accident or a traffic stop, always acting as your in-car security system. Driving can be dangerous, but the Commando dash cam with its wide lens captures the entire road and makes a record of every drive. The built-in GPS pinpoints exactly where and when events occur, and the Commando dash cam records in HD, daylight, and low-light conditions.
The Commando dash cam recorded an accident that was not my fault.
There's parking assist, lane departure, and collision warning systems built in, too.
The Commando dash cam proved my innocence.
There's no better technology at any price. Find the Commando dash cam at shop.commando.com. Shop.commando.com.
The Kim Commando Show is brought to you by TexasKubotaDealers.com. Visit TexasKubotaDealers.com for the Kubota dealer nearest you.
WTAW News Time is 8:31. It's 78 degrees. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Brought to you by Awards & More. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards & More can put it there. Good morning. I'm Chelsea Reber. Bryan voters will decide on at least 13 proposed changes to the city charter this November. That's after the city council supported all the recommendations of its Charter Review Advisory Committee.
The 5-1 vote also supports the committee's rejection of 10 proposed charter amendments that are the subject of a petition campaign by the Bryan New Directions Political Action Committee. Councilman Mike Sutherland, who's a member of the PAC, voted against last night's motion. The council is told at least four of the PAC's proposals violate state law. Committee member Sonny Lyles says they wanted to block those from a public vote, but that's against state law.
As a group, we're thinking, wow, we could fix all this at one time, and the reality is petition laws are petition laws. For any proponent of petitions, that's their petition. State law makes it wide open, and you can propose whatever you want to. If you get enough signatures, you can get it to a vote.
A copy of the 74-page report drafted by the 7-member Charter Committee is online at WTAW.com. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620, WTAW.
The Bryan City Council received their first look at next year's proposed budget yesterday. There was no mention whether there will be any change in the property tax rate or what will happen to water and wastewater rates. There is no plan to change the charge for trash collection. As for electric rates, nothing was mentioned about any changes next year. But BTU General Manager Gary Miller told the council the Texas Public Utility Commission might review the current rate structure because their rate of return is too high.
Our current rate of return is 11.7%. Our expectation, if we get called in, not guaranteed that we're going to get called in, but if we do, our expectation is that that rate of return probably will go down to somewhere in the neighborhood of 7%.
BTU forecasts if the state forces a rate reduction, that will reduce the amount of money transferred into the city of Bryan's general fund from $7 million next year to $5.6 million in 2018. A retired brigadier general and former general counsel for the Texas Army National Guard is chosen to become the next leader of the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission. The selection of Bentley Nettles of Bryan was applauded by the Bryan City Council, who appointed him to the city's utilities board 2 years ago. City Manager Keene Register served under Nettles early in their military careers.
To head an agency such as the TABC, when they've had as many problems and as many issues as they have, I definitely think they picked the right person.
During Nettles' guard career, he served in Bosnia, Afghanistan, and Iraq, among other places. The death of a Texas A&M fraternity member last December has been ruled accidental. Brazos County Sheriff Chris Kirk says, according to the recently reviewed final autopsy report, Matthew Hayes of Beaumont took several drugs after he did not feel well.
Hydrocodone, hydromorphone, chlormethamine, and then he had some alcohol in his system as well.
Investigators were told Hayes borrowed hydrocodone from a friend. The sheriff says the district attorney's office declined to pursue charges against the friend due to the circumstances of Hayes's death. WTAW News Time is 8:34. It's 78 degrees. You can text us any time of the day with your news tips, photos, and videos to 979-695-1620. This Look at News is brought to you by Awards and More. More news anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Awards and More should be your first stop for plaques, trophies, and custom awards. Whether you're promoting your business or getting a trophy for your little leaguer, Awards and More will custom design just the right product for you. Awards and More has t-shirts, printed promotional products, custom engraving, and embroidery. Call 696-3886 or go to awardsandmoreinc.com. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards and More will put it there. Awards and More, 3518 South Texas Avenue in Bryan.
Think your child ever gets enough sports? Wrong. Registration for Central Sports Flag Football and Volleyball has begun for the fall season at Central Baptist Church. Central Sports Flag Football is specially designed for four-year-olds through the sixth grade, and girls volleyball is first through sixth grade. Register your child today for some great fun and start building their confidence and good character. Coach and referee volunteers are also needed. Come join the Central Sports team. For more information and registration for Central Sports Flag Football and Girls Volleyball, visit centralbcs.org/sports or call 776-9977.
Let's do some weather, shall we? It's brought to you this morning by Action Sports, home of the Can-Am Spider and Kawasaki Mule Pro FXT. Stop by and see them yourself at Action Sports, 202 Holloman Drive East, or click on actionsportstx.com.
High pressure stays in control, but we do have a light flow off the Gulf of Mexico. That's why some showers and thunderstorms are moving from the Gulf on into the southeastern part of the state. It'll be partly sunny today. There could be a thunderstorm this afternoon here. Highs 90 to 95. Clear to partly cloudy overnight, 70 to 75. Partial sun tomorrow, maybe a shower in the afternoon, 95. It'll be partly sunny Friday, somewhere between 95 and 100. I'm meteorologist Rob Carolyn for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
836, we visit with mayors on Wednesday, and Mayor Brian Andrew Nelson here this morning. Good morning, Mayor. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Good. Y'all covered a lot of territory. I want to actually, before we start talking about the meeting itself, let's talk about the workshop, because I know in the workshop there was some discussion again of quiet zones. Can you tell us a little bit about that and your meetings with UP?
Yeah, a little bit. I can't tell you everything about them, but what I can tell you is they were very productive. I think Union Pacific is a great partner of ours in the community. If you'll remember, Bryan was founded because the train sold that land to what became the city of Bryan.
Sure.
So the train has been here before our city, and so they're a long-term partner of ours. Union Pacific is concerned about safety. They want to work with us to improve safety. Quiet zones are about noise, and for us to achieve that quiet zone, we need to do some things to make each of these intersections safe enough so that they don't have to lay on the horn to achieve that safety. But quiet zones aren't inherently about safety. They're inherently about trying to get things more quiet. So Union Pacific is in the business of operating safely. We're in the business of also wanting safety and also trying to get a quieter downtown. Union Pacific said they would be happy to work with us on the safety issues. We have to figure out what we want to do on the quiet zone. So that's what the discussion was. We have a lot of intersections. In fact, the majority of all the intersections in Bryan College Station happen in our downtown. So there's a big turn there. We've got multiple tracks there. So we're working with citizens, working with engineers and staffs, both at UP and at the city, to see what we can do at all these intersections effectively to make it very hard for people to cheat. You know, when mm-hmm. you go into the other lane and cross over and break all the rules and risk and you're breaking the law, the train is going to lay down the horn whether you have a quiet zone or not.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is to build barriers and structures so that when it says don't go over, you're really not going over. That's going to cost some money. It requires technology and a lot of concrete.
Sure. And some emotion involved, too. I happened to go to the meeting that Councilmember Marine had in his district, and people are concerned about traffic patterns in downtown, but basically Grosbeck, and if you end up having to close that, and I know you're not here to make the argument for or against that, but there are traffic patterns for cars as well that could be impacted besides the technological changes you're talking about.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I share those concerns. I share Councilman Marine's concerns and the concerns of the citizens there. But again, I think that was about closing down Grosbeck. So for either safety reasons or quiet zone reasons, you can close down Grosbeck. So that's a totally separate issue, though, than whether you support a quiet zone or whether you want to have a safe community. We can spend money to try to make that safe. We can close it down to try to make it safe. But if we close it down and people are walking over that track anyway there, they're still going to lay on the horn.
Sure.
And it won't be safe and it won't be quiet. So it's a separate issue. But I certainly have sympathy to that concern. And hopefully we need to address the traffic. We can't just shut something down and not ask, well, where's that traffic going to go? There are thousands and thousands of cars crossing that every day.
Okay, quick timeline. Are we looking at 2 years out from today as we talk about this, or what do you think?
Well, we ask city staff to present to us at the very next possible meeting, hopefully here at our second regular meeting in July, to have a workshop specifically on this topic. And for budget reasons, we don't want to redo this twice. Because there is some overlap in safety for the quiet zones, a lot, we don't want to go build something for safety and then having to go tear down a perfectly good new build and redo something for quiet zone. Mm-hmm. Let's do it together. Let's consider them together. Look at the budget. It's going to be, you know, several million dollars that we're talking about, and then make that decision and let's go execute.
Andrew Nelson, Mayor Brian, joining us this morning. You also mentioned that the Research Valley Partnership has some new bylaws. What's basically different in there?
Every several years, you ought to go and just update your bylaws. Some of it reflects the possibility of the Texas A&M system joining. If you look, the Health Science Center was a part of the, you know, system. Then it turned into, went to the university, then to the system. Some of our bylaws just needed to be updated to reflect the latest facts of what's on the ground. So that's effectively the main thing we did. And we kind of codified, if Texas A&M and the system do come into the RVP at some point in the future, how would that work? And that way there's clarity and everyone's on board for having them join as a financial partner, as well as what they always are, which is a partner in our community.
Well, as I had understood it, at least, the Research Valley Partnership, the idea was it to be some sort of a magnet to bring in industry and businesses here. Then recently it kind of made a change in its charge as we looked at the opportunity of having some sort of a school here for trades. So are we going back to what the RVP was in its original?
No, I think RVP's mission has remained the same. One of the essential things that we have to have, if we want to bring in a business into this community, we have to have an educated workforce to be able to have companies that are going to invest here know that there will be workers here. So that is a key part and remains a key part of the goals of RVP. I think what you saw is a whole lot of attention and you know, passionate views about how to accomplish that. But I think you know, Blinn remains a part of RVP. Texas A&M system is a part of that. They're working together. We're encouraged by that and hopeful that the efforts that we put together within RVP and outside of it with the outside partners is going to result in a better workforce for us. We're very hopeful and I'm encouraged. I've gotten a few updates from Texas A&M on kind of what's going on with that, and I remain encouraged.
RVP also, you're to the point where you have the finalist list for a new head of the organization?
That's, we were updated on that, and the search committee seems pretty excited about the quality of the finalists. So we're very hopeful to hear good news sometime, hopefully in the next month, about finalists.
Any of these local or Brazos Valley or state or out of state?
I don't know the exact number, but I think there were 50 or 60 people. This was a highly sought after position. There were highly qualified people. We were able to find a few folks that were in state, most people who were probably out of state or at least out of our community. And I'm staying out of that and let the search committee do their work. So look forward to being presented that and evaluating that hopefully in the next month.
Andrew Nelson, the Mayor of Bryan, joining us this morning. I guess I want to clarify part of the story that we had this morning. We use the term BTU is making too much money. That's probably best for us to say that what this had to do with was ERCOT is considering doing away with one of the ways that BTU collects revenue through transmission buildouts. But Gary Miller did talk to you yesterday about how, or last night, about a possibility that could make over $1 million difference in money that would be transferred to the general fund.
Yeah, that's right. Some of that is out of our control when we're dealing with other government authorities. But he also pointed out that that affects anybody in the state who's a part of that ERCOT group that's also doing transmission. So it's a question mark for a whole lot of people, and we're in that group for sure.
What else did you see out of this first look at the budget that kind of jumped off the page at you?
I just wish we had a lot more money. I mean, we committed, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but over the last 10 years, we've committed a tremendous amount of money to some very valuable and good projects, but, we've committed that money. So we've got to wait a while before we can do a lot of the things that we'd love to do that cost a lot of money. So we have to, I think citizens understand that. People want to get a lot done, but they also don't want us to get over in debt, and You know, it's my job to be one of those seven people and lead as mayor to make sure that we're stewarding taxpayer money while still moving Bryan forward.
It would appear that you are trying to bring in some business practices from your experience before you became mayor, having to do with streamlining a process. And part of that would be the process of capital improvement, maybe looking at projects that are old, that may be outdated, reprioritizing. What's your basic theory there?
Well, I just saw a binder. You know, we're printing out binders with, you know, 500 to 1,000 pages with, you know, $1 billion in projects, and we get to allocate $2.5 million. I mean, that seems like politics and not like what's helping the people. So I just ask them if there are projects that are on the capital improvement plan that have just been sitting there for years and years and years and nothing's going to be done with them, you know, let's not waste people's time. Let's actually let people know. Guess what? It made it onto the capital improvement, you know, binder, but it's been archived because, you know, every couple of years a new council comes in, new things happen. You know, if you would have done something with drainage, you know, 10 years ago when we had drought, you know, you probably would have been hung for doing that. Now people are wondering, you know, why haven't we done things with drainage? Mm-hmm. Well, so now drainage is important. You look at Bristol, for example, that neighborhood. We authorized in the CIP $3.5 million to improve drainage in one of our older neighborhoods. Probably 10 years ago, again, people would have been screaming at us if we would have had that priority. Things change. And so I understand why something can get on the binder, and 10 years later, you know, if it hasn't happened, it just sort of becomes a paperweight. So we need to recognize that and accommodate that. But in general, I think the staff has done a very good job of systemizing the process of how do you evaluate them, how do you compare them, you wait, you give a weighting for them, and then we make our decisions. We made a recent change from taking some of the plans that we had on Commerce Street and moving that to Palisota, so it's flexible enough to where we can change gears. I think in general, we've had consensus within the council in the first 7 months of this process.
Mayor Andrew Nelson, the mayor of Bryan, joining us. The Convention and Visitors Bureau, the head of that organization, has resigned. They are looking at new bylaws. This is the first time we've had a chance to talk to you on the air about this, that College Station seems to be driving the framework. Now, I happen to be at that meeting, and Councilman Hardiman, who's the council representative, seemed to be pretty well in line with what Councilman Rectorick of College Station said. But tell me where we are as far as that process.
Well, they are in line. I mean, they've been working together. The two cities provide almost 100% of the funding for those organizations, and we are going to present some bylaws for that board to approve. I understand that they are you know, probably going to approve that. So our city attorney is working with the College Station city attorney. We're working on it jointly to present those bylaws, and we'll be providing them to CVB. So I would say Councilman Hardiman and Councilman Rhetoric are working as partners. They're, you know, we're in sync. The two cities are completely in sync. College Station provides more funding to the CVB than the city of Bryan. I think it's appropriate to let College Station take the lead if they want on that, but you know, they've been just as we've been, you know, every step of the way we're in lockstep together, and we are you know, I think we're in harmony on what needs to happen there.
Anticipate that you'll vote on it this month?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll let them do their job, and when they present it to us, we will address it promptly.
Sure. Well, we want to wait till the end to talk about probably the most important thing that happened last night, and that was that the Charter Review Committee came back with their report to you, and basically, you had some proposals that you were going to put forth, and then there was a second group, a PAC, that wanted to put forth some ideas. So where did that all end up?
Well, I think the conclusion of their report is their committee recommended to our city council that there were 13 sections of the charter that they wanted to submit for amendment and to ask for an election to do that. They also reviewed there's a political action committee. That PAC has a petition out there to have 10 other things to be on the charter. They did review that with an independent legal counsel, a municipal expert on law and home rule law.
Your charter committee
did.
That's
right. The charter committee did that, which was a diverse group of all of our districts represented, ethnically diverse, and it was elected by a supermajority chaired by Tim Bryan, whose family namesake is on one of those 10 petitions, and they unanimously recommended that we do not support any of those propositions. They found them all through the legal expert who was independent and came in to advise them that they were unlawful, They were unenforceable. They were inappropriate. They're vague. They're unnecessary. They're uncommon. I mean, I think that's pretty blunt. I swore an oath to uphold our Constitution and our state law, and when I'm being told something is illegal, it's unenforceable. He said any one of these could cost hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal costs for us to defend if we're in court. He talked about the appellate process, paying the other person's legal fees. This is a mess. That doesn't mean that any of these subjects are not valid for council discussion. But there's a process, there's state law that governs four of them. I think it was at least four. It may have been more, but I'm sure that it's at least four. Where, you know, for example, zoning, there's state law that defines how we do that. We can't just go put in a charter that we're going to go and create our own state within the state of Texas and do things differently.
Sure.
Others are inappropriate for a charter, which should be a framework that says generically, this is how things should work over the long term. And then the council goes and deals with the current year, the current issues. You need that flexible framework.
Now, we've posted on our website at WTAW.com the entire 74-page document, but basically there's a petition there that shows the 10 items that people can look at there, but the plan is that this is going to happen in November?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We will get our items that were recommended by that committee into you know, our city secretary will be working with the county to make sure that gets into the November election.
Okay. Anything else we need to chat about this morning?
Well, one thing that's very important, a question came up about being able to, once people realize that the petition charter was illegal, some people have already signed up, they feel duped by it, and some people have called me and asked, you know, how do I undo and get my name off of that charter? All you have to do is call our city secretary's office at 209-5002. It's very easy. We'll actually have someone come to you, and it takes just a moment to kind of undo that now that people understand that it's illegal and unenforceable and inappropriate.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the time. And again, this is all out there and available for people to see on our website. But with any other situation, you want to be an informed voter before we go.
Yeah, verify my facts and everyone else's and make your own informed decisions. Thank you.
All right, very good. That's Andrew Nelson. He's the mayor of Bryan. We visit with the mayors on alternate Wednesdays on News Talk 1620 WTAW.
It's not how fast you mow, it's how well you mow fast. And with innovative John Deere riding lawnmowers, you're able to get the job done right. Stop by Sioux Falls Prater today, where you're able to get an outstanding deal on a huge inventory of John Deere riding and zero-turn mowers. Choose from a range of horsepower, deck sizes, and fuel options. Whichever you choose, you'll get powerful performance, comfort, and all-around versatility. With 12 models to choose from, all for less than $3,000, Sioux Falls Prater can help you find the perfect mower for your land. Stop by Sioux Falls Prater today or visit cptractor.com for details.
Offer ends July 31st, 2017. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Think your child ever gets enough sports? Wrong. Registration for Central Sports Flag Football and Volleyball has begun for the fall season at Central Baptist Church. Central Sports Flag Football is specially designed for four-year-olds through the sixth grade, and girls volleyball is first through sixth grade. Register your child today for some great fun and start building their confidence and good character. Coach and referee volunteers are also needed. Come join the Central Sports team. For more information and registration for Central Sports Flag Football and Girls Volleyball, visit centralbcs.org/sports or call 776-9977.
How many smiles are in your bank account? How many laughs? How many hugs and shoulders to lean on? These are the special moments in life. The milestones, the heart-to-hearts that create the most lasting and cherished memories. How many lives have you touched? How many haven't you? It's never too late to accumulate the kind of capital that really matters. Because when you add it up, after all the years, is there anything that matters more? How will you be remembered?
For over six decades, Callaway Jones has served local families. The new Callaway Jones Funeral and Cremation Center is now open. Our modern, comfortable, and spacious facility provides innovative and memorable ways to honor loved ones you've lost. Visit CallawayJones.com.
Hallmark Cleaners understands that you make an investment in your clothes, so they don't cut corners when it comes to your dry cleaning. Hallmark Cleaners provides quality processing at competitive pricing. They have three BCS locations, South College Avenue, Rock Prairie Road at Highway 6, and Welburn Road next to Chicken Express, as well as one in Navasota. Experience great convenience with Hallmark's drive-thru and same-day, in-by-9, out-after-5 service. Hallmark Cleaners, the Brazos Valley's trusted dry cleaning and laundry service for over 20 years.
Malik is more than just an air conditioning company, more than a service. We are problem solvers. We are leaders in operational excellence. We are a team, and we are family. We have a passion to help you. We train every day for it. We're prepared. We roll up our sleeves and do the hard work so you don't have to. And we set the bar high in AC and heating. Turn to the experts with Carrier and Malik. We make the difference. MalikService.com. License TACLA 9262C.
Hey, about 4 minutes till. All right, now let's talk about what's really important, and that is Shark Week kicking off on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
On July 23rd with Michael Phelps racing a great white shark
yeah.
in a special called Phelps versus the Shark, Great Gold versus Great White.
I mean, sharks can swim faster than him, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Now, Phelps gave Entertainment Weekly some details on exactly how it went down. First, it was in open water, so he and the shark were not separated.
What?
Yeah.
No.
What?
Yeah,
that's it. They raced 100 meters, and they were not actually side by side, okay? There were 15 safety divers in the water to make sure that he didn't get eaten, which is probably good.
Yeah.
Also, there were some handicapping going on since it's not exactly a fair contest. Phelps can swim probably a little more than 5 miles per hour.
Uh-huh.
But that's just pretty much cruising speed for the white shark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it's moving, can go 25 miles an hour, okay? And one of the ways, I don't know how much you got paid for this. One of the ways that they evened the odds was to give Phelps a monofin.
Oh.
Which is basically a dolphin tail
right.
attached to his feet.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why. How much did he get paid for this? I know his mother's proud. All right, so there. So that'll be coming up. Now, while we're talking about the ocean and such, a woman named Roberta Ursi was at the beach with her family in Panama City, Florida on Saturday. Her 8 and 11-year-old sons, too far out in the water, turned out that they were actually in a big riptide, a strong riptide out there. So her whole family swam out to get them. Well, that just made things worse because now there were 9 people
in the riptide
that were stuck out there.
Yeah, it's not like the more people, the less riptide.
Then Roberta's mother suffers a massive heart attack while she's in the water out there.
Oh, my gosh.
Comes to the rescue? Yes, Jessica Simmons. Jessica Simmons. She realized what was happening and started swimming out on a boogie board. Meanwhile, her husband stayed back and got everyone on the beach to form a human chain. And about 80 people linked arms.
Wow.
And some of them didn't know each other, and some of them didn't know how to swim that well either. But they helped anyway. They stood there, and basically everybody was rescued because of the human chain that they formed.
Wow.
They got Roberta's mom to a hospital. She's recovering. Her nephew broke his hand. Aside from that, nobody's seriously hurt. Afterwards, they're watching all these people work together and said it was the most remarkable thing they'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Kind of a
I still don't know if I'd be brave enough to go out on a boogie board.
Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently this lady, and she said, I was reading another story, she said, I knew I was a good enough swimmer that I could do that.
Gotcha.
And that it would be all right.
But, wow.
Anyhow, so
cool story.
Yeah. So did either of you guys go get like your free Chick-fil-A yesterday?
No,
I did not dress up like a cow.
I guess we should have actually checked on the local stores to see if anybody did come in dressed like a cow.
I bet they did.
Well, sure. I mean, there certainly have to be some folks who would do that.
Oh, yeah.
Back in England, a lady over there trying to withdraw some money from her savings account. They refused her to do that because they said she was dead.
Pooh!
Said she was dead. She never knew! The woman's account had been closed and the $6,000 had been paid out. Despite showing her ID, the woman was informed that she was still officially dead and could not withdraw any money. 77-year-old said the young lady serving me began typing away on her computer and all of a sudden looked very puzzled and told me that according to their records, I was dead. Eventually, the bank went through. They investigated further, discovered that the woman with a name similar to her.
So not even the same.
No.
Just similar.
Wow. Okay. You hate to think about similar and money, you know? Oh, gosh. You,
right.
Your name is close to that person. Let me go ahead and give you, you know, $37,000.
Oh, your name is Will account. Nates. Okay, yeah. we'll give you some money.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay, happy birthday again to the Etch-A-Sketch that came into our world in 1960 on this date. And Congress passed the minimum wage in 1933. 33 cents an hour.
And they're still complaining
about it today.
Just
the numbers are different. All right, we're back tomorrow. It's 9 o'clock. WTAW, College Station Broadcast.